brought to you almost live from the Dude in the Basement Studios. Why? Because that's where the good stuff is. It sips, suds, and smokes with your smoking host, the good old boys. Suds, suds, suds. It's time for more suds.
It is definitely time for more suds, and thank you very much for joining us for this suds episode where everything good in life is worth discussing. This is good old boy Mike. Joining me here at the table are Reverend Mark.
Good afternoon.
And the incomparable good old boy Dave.
Hey, kids.
Did I say incompetent or incomparable?
I don't know. I wasn't listening.
Just as long as you don't say incontinent.
More beer.
Oh. You see that puddle under my chair?
Oh, that doesn't work. All right. We are the best thing on at 2 a.m., and we thank you for choosing us over Polka Classics with Paul, the blending of hip-hop and polka in the modern era. Our sud segments are all about beer, and definitely more beer. We're going to be talking about lots of great things today, but first off, Dave is going to get the honor of going over our suds ratings for today.
We'll be tasting and discussing these beers and rating them using our suds ratings plus our signature belching sounds. Here are those ratings now. Number one, that sucks. Give me anything but a bud. Number two, was that a belch? Number three, ah, what a relief. Number four, a body should really not make that sound.
Add a hip hop song to that.
And number five, using my best Reverend Mark impersonation, listen to that hang time. Give me another.
Thanks, Dave, for reading those and your best Reverend Mark interpretation. Actually, he's here in person.
To date.
Yes. We won't have to do that. So, first off, our show today is definitely about our GABF wrap-up for 2014. So I want to definitely start off our GABF session, just like every other GABF session, which is welcoming in the bagpipes. Most definitely. So we are back from GABF, the Great American Beer Festival in Denver, Colorado, and we have had time to recover, recharge from this event, and the one emotion that none of us thought that we would be experiencing would actually be mourning the death of a dear friend, Reverend Mark.
Yeah, and so before we get into our topic today, we want to pause, we want to dedicate our show to a dear friend that recently passed away. We're thinking of Michael Simage. He was a great husband, brother, son, one heck of a brewer. His passion for beer was unparalleled. I can tell you, knowing him and talking with him over these years, it was part of his DNA. He served as president of the Mid-State Brew Crew, and we have on this show hosted several people from that club. We spent quite a bit of time with Michael and Danielle, his wife, at the GABF. As a matter of fact, Danielle was competing in the Pro-Am with a beer that they had worked so long and hard on called Jaxie Brown. And it was brewed at the Cool Springs Brewery. We have certainly, over the years, relished our time with Michael, and he will be so terribly missed by many. Our continuing thoughts go out to Danielle and Michael's family. To Michael, prost.
Prost. Truly, I never really thought that this was an emotion that I would come back from such a great event to be experiencing the death of a friend. I know you spent some time with Michael very recently for his Swansea Day, didn't you?
Yeah, we spent time in Louisville, Kentucky at the Holy Grail with Michael and Danielle, talked to them, got to know them. One cool thing, though, the last really cool memory I have of Michael is actually from GABF, and it was the early Saturday members-only session. And so we all got in really early before the crowds really started coming in. And I had sort of gotten separated from Juliana and Reverend Mark, which I let's just face it, I wandered away. My leash fell off of me.
Yeah, we had one of those mall leashes that you put on children, you know? Yeah. And yeah, he got
a five Dave meter.
Yeah. Beep, 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 beep. Yeah, I was trying to find Juliana in the midst of actually sampling some beers. And I see Michael hauling tail towards the back of the event, and I got in step with him. He's got longer legs than me, so I had to walk pretty fast.
True.
And I was like, dude, where are you going? He goes, man, I'm getting in line for this cheese. And I was like, what are you talking about? He goes, no, it's the American Cheese Association or something.
Right. In the back of the hall, yeah.
And I was like, who but Simich would be barreling past
just to get cheese
every brewery in America, you know, their tent or whatever, their table, to get to taste some cheese. And I just thought, man, this dude is out there, but
committed.
I really committed
to the cause.
I really like Michael, and I'm very very sad that I won't get to go and taste some more of his beers and talk about beer and cheese with him anymore.
Absolutely. I tell you, over the years, I've especially appreciated the fact that he and Danielle, I mean, they were obviously just so made for each other on so many levels. And, you know, I just really appreciate the fact, and, you know, in beer circles, that oftentimes it's, many times it's just the guys. And I'm glad to see that there's more diversification. You know, of gender diversity within brewing. With some of the greatest brewers I know, you know, in this city, are women brewers I've learned from. But how that they work together, just so, you know, in such amazing ways, in such collaboration, as fellow brewers, and I just
so
really respect that.
A bit more of the backstory was that Reverend Mark and Danielle actually were competing in the same Pro-Am at Cool
Me
Springs
too.
As well, and Dave. And it really came down to three beers in all of that competition. And Reverend Mark's was right there in the short list towards the end. And I know you've competed before, you know, in the Pro-Am, but in hindsight, looking back at actually what's transpired here, I'm really glad that Danielle won.
Oh, yeah.
And more importantly, I'm really glad that Michael actually got to come with us to Denver for winning that competition, because he really enriched our experience in Denver, but more importantly, he actually enriched our lives by, you know, everything that he contributed both to life as well as the brewing community in general. So, truly, we wanted to dedicate this show to Michael and celebrate his life. So definitely take a moment, raise a glass, and celebrate. Prost. Today is our GABF wrap-up show for 2014, and I can't think of any more fitting sound than hearing the sound that you hear on the GABF floor. We have actually tasted thousands of beers, and we're going to cover some highlights on today's show. We're going to talk about some general comments. We're going to cover our top three. We're going to talk about the GABF medalists, and then we have some topics to kind of cover that were kind of present through the show as well. So let's get right to it, guys. So I'm sitting here with one GABF virgin and one veteran that have been to the show. So I'll let the virgin start first. Dave, this is your first show to GABF. What'd you think? Was it everything you thought? Would you go back?
Yeah, it was it was everything I thought it would be. You know, I've been to a lot of beer festivals locally and some other towns and things. The scale and magnitude of the GABF is overwhelming. I mean, that's, you know, and if I had, you know, and I hope I do get to go again. It'd be cool to go as a Pro-Am winner or something, but the way we got to go as part of the show and everything was really awesome with the access that we had. But if I do go back, or let me say when I go back, I am definitely going to do more prep work, because if you don't think about who you want to see, what you want to drink, you're not necessarily going to know about all the beers beforehand. But if you don't have a good concept, at least of a region some specific breweries and things that you want to go visit, you get lost. And Juliana and I went to a lot of the brewer tables. I mean, we went to a lot of places, and 90% of them are stuff that we'd never heard of before, and that was out of design, because we don't, you know, if it's something that we've had before, why go there and stand in line to try it? But I still don't think we really even scratched the surface, you know, completely. But it was an amazing experience. I do think that there are so many opportunities to have a good time around the GABF. I think the sessions are fun. I'd say Thursday night and Saturday early are the two best sessions by far, if you can get to them. Friday night is just a madhouse. But it was fun. But I think
you're gonna bring a costume next time, aren't you?
Maybe.
Super Dave.
I should have worn my kilt. Man, I thought about it. I should have worn it. I may go with cinnamon. I don't know. Who knows? But
please don't.
Yeah. I know. But cinnamon might be better just for the radio.
I'm gonna make T-shirts. Yeah. I'm Dave.
Call me Cinnamon. But no, we had a great time. Denver is a great beer city. If you can't find a good beer in Denver, you are just not looking. So
you've come there for the wrong reason.
Yeah, it was one of those experiences that, you know, every beer lover should have at least once.
How about it, Reverend Mark? You're the veteran of the group here.
Yeah, this is number three.
Yeah, so what'd you think of this year? And, you know, are you ready to go back?
Oh, man, yeah. So much ready. And actually, this I've had beer at the GABF three other times without actually going myself. That I've competed in the Pro-Am four times. But this is the only one time I've actually gone, and that was 3 years ago. No, actually two times, the last two times. Anyhow, not only would I want to go back, some of the reasons are that, you know, I feel as though, having had the privilege of going the first two times with a local brewery that sponsored the Pro-Am, it made me feel, you know, like I was very much a part of this whole kind of craft brew culture that's not just happening on an industrial level, but it's happening in everybody's backyard, you know. And it just really made me feel as though, you know, that for the last 14 years now, that I've been doing something that, you know, at first to me was just kind of cool, and my friends liked the beer. And as I continued to work at it and compete, you know, I didn't really do it to see if I was better than anybody else. I was always just competing with myself to see if I could craft just a slightly better IPA or a Belgian strong ale the next time. So to be able to get there and just to have your beer served to that public is just really does validate your own sense of, you know, I've got a good hobby. You know, I can probably live with this for a while. Also, though, I really completely agree with Dave in that you really need to have a roadmap in front of you when you're making it down, you know, those many, many aisles of booths, because, you know, there still are your standard IPA, brown American ales, and Hefeweizens that are fine on any given day of the week if you're stuck in any local town. But, yeah, you really want to seek out the things that you just don't come across every day. And, you know, so we were able to do a lot of that. We'll comment on that, some of that, in just a minute on some of our favorite picks. You know, but for me, at least, one thing I noticed about the GABF this year, which was qualitatively a little better than last year, is that more of the people at the table serving the beer actually knew about the beer.
Yes. So I have a bit of a backstory on, you know, some efforts that the Brewers Association made this year around that. And that was something, you know, that has really caught our attention for several years, is that the volunteers are really great. They serve, you know, a very specific need of being able to have that many people to pour all the beer. But there was a gap of knowledge, you know, that was kind of going on. So actually one of the volunteer coordinators was actually staying at the hotel that we were staying at, and I was able to catch up with him as I was just kind of waiting for our car down in the motor pool. And he told me, you know, some really great facts this year that they actually made a more concerted effort to kind of bridge that gap. Both there are brewer tasting notes that each of the volunteers had available about the beer that was in front of them.
Yeah.
Especially for those people that were kind of novice, you know, consumers or not even brewers at all, to even understand, you know, what the beer was and, you know, how was it made, or even, you know, some specific elements of ingredients around it. The other thing that they had was they actually had designated beer geeks that actually moved around the floor for two purposes. One is that you need somebody to make fun of, and no, they actually,
that's what I was there for.
Yeah, that's true. Yes, Dave. They were there to both help consumers and field direct questions for people that had questions about beer that they were consuming, but also to help educate the volunteers that were there as well.
Yeah.
And I have to say that I'm with Reverend Mark, that I really felt like the people behind the counter, I didn't have a whole lot of questions, and I guess, I don't know, I'm just kind of wired that way, which is, please pour and I'll move to the back, you know, yeah, and get out of the way. I don't have any questions about this. But the few questions that I did have, for the most part, were actually fielded, you know, fairly intelligently.
Yeah. I tended to ask more if they were dressed with the brewery's work shirt, or like you could tell that they were actually.
Yeah. If they were credentialed for the brewery, I asked a question or two, you know, at that point. But yeah, I thought that it, you know, it was a good concerted effort, I thought, by the Brewers Association to really improve some of the experience for people that actually had genuine questions, you know, about the beer that they were consuming. And I noticed definitely a lot of the tables this year that many of the brewers actually took the time to actually write out a description of the beers that they were pouring, which really helped a lot. There was one beer that we actually talked about where their table, what they had done is it was actually a laminated piece of like a tablecloth that they actually put each of their pitchers at, and so it stood the test of time, you know, through the entire week, and
all the spilled
all the beer that was there, and it looked just as good on the last day as it did on the first day. And I think that really helped, because they had the full, you know, description of the beer, the pitcher was right there, but there was, you know, an accurate description of the beer right there that you could actually see as well. And those are those notes are actually not in some things like the GABF app. That would probably be the only thing I wish that they would do, is that they would have either some direct link to the brewer's site, you know, for beer descriptions, or breakdown of some other aspects of that beer, if it's been rated by some other places, or release dates, you know, around the beer. Those are some things I was missing.
You know what I think would be cool? And I'm giving away a $1 billion idea here.
Hang on a second. I have a beer here.
You better have a drink. Well, you know, like how, you know, everybody goes to Beer Advocate and rate beer.
And Sip Sudden Smokes.
Those QR codes, you know, like the fancy barcode.
Right. Mm-hmm.
If you put one of those there, everybody has that app on their smartphone. You scan that, and it takes you right to either a Beer Advocate rating.
Now, I'd love it to actually just bring up the right beer on the GABF app.
Well, good luck with that.
Yeah, but, I mean, I have to say that standing in line and holding my cup and navigating, you know, people in costumes and then trying to type, that didn't work, you know, several times.
Pirates will knock you out of the way if you're not careful.
Most definitely. Well, it was a really good event this year. You know, I'm really glad we got to go back. I enjoy going, you know, as credential media, you know, for this event. Yeah. It's it definitely provides us a, you know, perspective around this. I enjoyed the media luncheon again. Maybe not quite as much this year as I did last year.
Death Star was good.
Yep, it was. There was some really good beer that was there, and several of the medal winners were again poured at the media luncheon. So,
yeah.
If you, I'd have to say maybe that's the tip off, is you know, if you want to know who's going to medal, actually ask what beers have been served at the media luncheon, because nearly about three-fourths of them medaled there as well. But I really loved the discussion that each of the brewers had. The events outside GABF, I am down to the point of declaring to say, you know what, even if you cannot get tickets to the floor at GABF, you should go.
Yeah.
There are so many events happening in the Denver area during this week that I'm down to the point of saying you might actually have more fun and actually spend less money by not securing a ticket.
Just go for that.
Yeah, I mean, I would say even if you got like a ticket to one night or one session, you should go for a 5-day period, because there is that much going on.
Yep.
You shouldn't feel like, oh man, I'm missing out. There really is just so much going on outside. Our event was a lot of fun. It made for great radio, although I found ourselves, screaming into the microphones during that episode. It's nice to be back here in the studio today, I have to say. It's nice and quiet.
We should have done a video clips of the people singing Michael Jackson.
I did.
Me. Oh, you did?
I did, yeah. And so I have not posted them on the Facebook page. Oh. It's like a really, only like a four-second clip. Yeah.
That's about all
of the people dancing off. Well, definitely the dude standing one behind the other going, do I have 5 more seconds? And I'm like, for what?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Seriously, stop.
Please. No, you don't.
We may have a hands-off policy in future dance-offs.
You have 5 less seconds.
I don't know about that.
Yeah, and I found out everybody has a Michael Jackson song in their repertoire, at least one.
How about that? You never knew that. Well, it was a really great event, and it swings our attention to actually talking about beer at the event itself. So we wanted to talk about some of our top three choices, and up first is Dave talking about his top three.
All right. Well, here's one lesson as a newbie that I learned about GABF. You know, sometimes, you know, with different things, we all get caught up in the hype for stuff, you know, and just because something's popular doesn't mean it's great. At GABF,
it's almost like a semi-blind tasting.
That's right.
Yeah.
If there's a long line at a table, it's usually for a good reason, because it's really good beer. So I'm not really going to talk about a lot of those, because, you know, like New Glarus and folks like that, obviously, in Wicked Weed, obviously their beers are amazing. My favorite beer that I had at GABF was Electric Cucumber by Trinity Brewing.
Wow. Yeah.
That's amazing.
I remember that.
I can't believe I picked that.
I'm still belching, actually.
Wow. Yeah.
This was a winner in the experimental category, I believe.
Yeah, Field and Stream. I don't know.
Yep.
But no, it. So it's a saison with English cucumbers, lemon zest, and seeds of paradise.
Hmm.
And the other reason why I really like this beer is because we discovered Trinity actually on our way to GABF, because we stopped in Colorado Springs first, and so we went by there, and we'd been reading about them, you know, for a few weeks before, so we were like, dude, we're going to Trinity, you know. And it was so much better than we ever imagined. And we didn't have the Electric Cucumber at the brewery, but we had it, I think, the first night when we were there, the first session, and I could not stop thinking about it after that. That was like my favorite beer there. I like cucumbers anyways, but this beer was amazing. And we actually scored a bottle of it, too, after, somewhere in Denver. I don't even know where we found it. But Julianne was like, hey, look at this. So I was like, yes, put that in the basket. That is a beer that I would give a rating of a 5.
Wow, how about that right off the bat? Listen to the hang time. Give me another.
And you know they're into saisons when the head brewer's name on Facebook is Saison Man.
That's pretty cool. I can imagine that experience getting pulled over. Yeah. Hey, Mr. Cucumber, are you aware what's going on? Are you aware what your speed was? I don't know, but here's a beer.
That's right.
So what else do you have in your top three there?
So the other beers, one of the other beers I have actually was at GABF, but I did not try it there. I had it at What the Funk.
Oh, okay.
And it was from Two Rivers in Connecticut. It's called Filsomic.
Huh.
And it is a lambic that is aged, I think, for 20 months or so in red wine barrels with 14-year-old balsamic vinegar.
Wow. Okay. That has my undivided attention.
It was awesome. And we just happened to stumble onto it at What the Funk, like towards the end of the night, and I couldn't stop thinking or talking about it because it was so smooth, and that balsamic, you could taste it, but it wasn't vinegary at all. It was just, it was a perfect complement to that. To the sourness of that beer. It was very smooth and very, very delicious. I don't know if you guys got to try that.
I would have remembered that.
Yeah. No. Yeah, it was really good.
So what's your suds rating on that?
I'd give that one a 4.
Wow. And who was that by again?
Two Roads. I think.
So I had my notes here from What the Funk. I was curious if I actually had that one or not. That was a really big room. It was a great event. And that was the first time that any of us had been to that, and it was good that we got there. We got there a little bit later than maybe a lot of other folks, and I would almost go so far to say that almost half the beer was gone by the time we even got into the room itself.
And I was going to say, I hope going forward that people commit a little more beer to these events, because, you know, it happened at What the Funk, it happened at the Rare Beer Tasting, and it happened at GABF. There are certain tents that by the time, if you don't get there and stand in line before or right as the event starts, you're not going to get any beer. And I get it. I mean, it's great beer and people want to taste it, but everybody wants to taste it.
Yeah. Actually, I didn't get to have the Two Roads. I don't have any notes on that. So that was a table you got to that I didn't get to there. So that's great. What's your last pick there?
My last one is actually is one of the popular breweries that I stood in line for, and that was the Lost Abbey, track number 8.
Wow.
Which is their quad, I think it's called Judgment Day, but this is a bourbon barrel aged version of that.
Very Weyerbacher-ish.
Yes, and it was really good. It was, maybe a quad is the perfect beer to put in a bourbon barrel because it brings out some of those extra flavors. And I know they added extra spices in afterwards, but it was spicy, and there was vanilla, and just you know, it tempered that big Belgian flavor and smoothed it out in just such a great way that I think if anyone can find this beer, and I think it comes in a box set, you should definitely try this beer. I hope they release it on a bigger scale. But I would also give that beer a 4.
Wow. How about that? A body should really not make that sound. Well, those are three really great choices. And, you know, we're going to have an upcoming episode of Brewery Takeover from Lost Abbey. Sweet. And I don't think that that beer is in the lineup.
It's hard to get.
Yeah, I think that the beer that is before it was aged, which was, I forgot.
Judgment Day.
Yep, that one is in the lineup
that
we're having
cool.
For that. So I'll see if we can get a hold of track 8, or maybe a listener would love to at least point us in the right direction, or send us a bottle. It would be great.
Yes, please.
Yep, that would be great. Well, I'll tell you what, we're going to take just a quick break here. Let some of our stations chime in with some great information, and we'll be right back with good old boy Mike's top three. Hey, we're back with polka and hip-hop of the modern era. You're back at Sip, Suds, and Smokes. I'm good old Mike We are here with our GABF wrap-up show for 2014, and we're going through our top three choices from GABF week. So next up, I wanted to go through my top three here for everyone to enjoy. This is not really in any particular order. Not like 1, 2, 3. This is like a crush of 15 things all at the top, and I had to sit down and actually pick three to talk about. So up first is a beer from the brewery, one of my favorite breweries right now. I love everything that Patrick Grew is doing. I'm thinking about actually moving to Anaheim. Every time I go down to my beer cellar, I go, why do I have all this beer from the brewery? And the reason why is because it's really good. And every time I crack one open, I go, wow, this is just phenomenal. I actually had another White Oak bottle the other day with some friends that are not beer aficionados, and they were just raving about it, and they were like, oh, this is so good. And I'm like, yeah, this is really good, but wait until you have the great from the brewery. So I would say the great is I ran into, they actually cracked open Black Tuesday at GABF, and it's very difficult to find, but it's actually worth it. Listen, you have probably missed the 2014 lottery if you're listening to this, and actually already the enrollment got cut off by the time this episode is going to air. But if you have a chance next year, or if you actually have the ability of a good trade to get a hold of this bottle, I would say this is a must-have. This is absolutely the best example of bourbon barrel aging that I've had lately. And we have had so much beer that is barrel aged. And we're actually going to have a show just on that topic in the very near future as well. You know, the one thing that we always talk about with things that are barrel aged is it overwhelming the beer, or is it complementing the beer, or it's just not there? It's like one of those, you know, choices. And the thing that I'm always looking for is something that's actually complementing the beer. You know, it's beer that happens to be barrel aged, not something that's barrel aged that happens to be beer. And I have to say that this is the bourbon actually complements the Imperial Stout itself. And it was just in this really great harmony that was going on with the beer itself. And I would say, in a sea of new barrel-aged beer, this one just kind of stood out for me. My Sedge rating for the brewery Black Tuesday is going to be a 5.
Nice.
Yep. Just really amazing beer, and was all too happy to be able to get to taste it while we were at the show itself. So the next beer that's up is actually from from Alaskan Brewing, and this is a brewery that we actually know here on the show. We actually reviewed a couple of the beers from Alaskan. Actually, I think they were on the Porter show, and I think they were on the Stout show as well.
Yeah,
Midnight Sun is amazing.
Yeah,
I mean, it is a really great beer, and this is going to actually cross over into our discussion in a minute about GABF medal winners, but it's actually also making my top three. You know, I'm not actually a huge fan of smoked beers. In fact, in general, you know, I just kind of avoid them, you know, because I usually find that the smoke just usually overwhelms the beer, and that's kind of the end of it. Yeah. But this porter actually took it to a new level for me. Much like barrel aging, you know, you're always looking for that complement, you know, element about what is the smoke actually doing with the beer itself. And this was really just, everything was amazingly in check. This actually enhances that roasty, toasty cocoa notes, you know, in a typical porter. It was like you would take the perfect Tootsie Roll that you've ever had, and you would actually stick it in the smoker for just a bit, you know, until it just kind of infuses that smoke, and then pop it in your mouth. That was the experience around, you know, this smoked porter. It actually is a medal winner. I think that they took home the bronze for this, and I actually got to talk with the brewer that actually made this beer, and personally thanked them. I mean, it was just, it was right after they won, and they're all standing there relishing, you know, in the moment, and it was just, it was very cool to tell them just what a really great beer this was, and frankly, for a category that's, I don't really have a whole lot of affinity for, you know, on a casual drinking basis. You know, if you had asked me about Alaskan, I would have thought that Midnight Sun would have been it. I really almost would go so far to say they were one and done.
Yeah.
But after tasting the porter as well as the stout and the other beers that they had there at GABF, this is a brewery that really has it going on. And I'm looking forward to a lot of great beer that's going to come out of Alaskan.
They were one of the ones that were empty almost as soon as you know they opened, and you know, if you weren't there early, you were not getting any of their beer.
Yeah. Well, I actually got to have this again right at the member tasting right after they announced the awards, so they were actually pouring this, so it was really great to have the Alaskan Smoke Porter 2013. My sedge rating for that beer is also a 5. Listen to that hang time. Give me another. And I have to say, I'll have a long 2-ounce pour for that. In fact, refill my cup. The last beer I wanted to talk about is a beer that we actually had at Embrace the Funk. I'm not Embrace the Funk. What the Funk? Different event.
Different funk.
Sorry about that, Brandon.
And kudos to Brandon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll talk about that in just a second. So, you know, we were kind of standing all around there at the end of What the Funk, and, you know, it was just, I don't know, it was kind of taking it all in, and there were so many beers that I had that were really great, and I was kind of relishing, you know, pining for some of the things that we actually didn't get to taste there in the room, and we actually wound up in a corner that was right by Epic, and we had all kind of walked up to this table in the middle and had a lot of the beers that Epic was offering up. And one of them was the Elder Brett Saison Golden Ale, release number 4. And, you know, I was really grateful that there was actually a full bottle in front of us as they actually shut down, you know, What the Funk, because it's actually one of the best examples of craftsmanship using wild yeast, actually outside of Jester King and Cantillon. It was just, you know, I was sitting there going, this is just a really great wild yeast beer. And I was really very impressed with how well the beer was made, you know, itself. The only thing I was disappointed about this beer was I was not able to take any home. I was a little pissed about it. I was like, yeah. I searched all over the place, and I could not find any of this to take home. I know it's been out since December of 2013. There have been multiple releases. I know this is release 4, you know, that they've had of this beer, and it is just a really great sour. I mean, just incredible balance. It's just everything that I really look for in what I would consider a kind of a high-end, you know, sour experience. We've had so many great sours, you know, on this show and outside of the show, and even maybe some, you know, hard-to-find stuff. But, you know, I really feel like this is definitely a beer that I would go back to again if I could find it. You know, I think the only thing I would have to say is I could easily hog a whole bottle of this and actually not feel guilty about sharing any of this.
True.
My sedge rating for Epic Elder Brett Saison Golden Ale Release 4 is also a 5. I can get over there. There we go. All right. Next up is going to be Reverend Mark to share his top 3.
Okay. Well, I'm sort of like Mike in that these three are not like 1, 2, 3 or in hierarchical fashion. They're all equally good. But I'm going to start out with one that maybe would definitely be a lesser known, and I think it's actually not been replicated since GABF. And that is the Wine Coop Brewery in Denver. And they had one in particular. They had several really fine offerings at the GABF, but the one that, you know, really got my attention was the Prickly Pear Berliner Weiss.
Huh.
Nice.
So this was a beer that we actually talked about, you know, on one of our shows, you know, at GABF itself. This was the pink beer.
Yeah, I was going to say.
What, and you had to throw your finger up.
What shade of pink would you say that beer was?
Yeah, it was, you know, almost like a magenta that had turned a little pale.
There you go.
Kind of had a magenta tone to it.
A little washed out magenta.
Yeah. The one reason I was interested just when I saw what it was is that I'm also a mead maker, and absolutely one of the best meads I've ever come up with was made with prickly pear puree that I got out of an outfit called St. Patrick's in Texas. And so I knew how good that that particular fruited mead was, a melomel, we call it. So I was a little skeptical, but I just thought it was a perfect blend with that Berliner Weiss, kind of that low gravity, sour, crisp, dry. And the prickly pear has, you know, it has an earthy kind of character to it, a little bit kind of a strawberry rhubarb aspect, but not overly much. And I just thought that that was a really good fruit to be pairing with the Berliner Weiss.
Just kind of softened it just a little bit.
Yeah.
So what's your suds rating?
These are all, this is a five.
Oh, okay. All right. Listen to Hang Time, give me another. I don't think I used those words when we were standing there, though. Yeah. I'll have more pink beer, please.
Well, and then I'll go from the, you know, the more obscure, that is the beer that you can't really find anymore, to one that was very well known, but it may be sold out by now. And that is the new Glarus Brown Peach.
Oh, yes. Oh, that was so good. I have to say, you know, just really, wow. You know, we actually talked a little bit about this as well. And it was great that they actually brought this to the show.
Yeah. And as a matter of fact, talk about the sessions you want to get in on and the lines that start forming.
Yep.
And then you start taking notes of, you know, where are the lines.
I was actually on Thursday night when I had that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We had it Saturday morning.
I actually had it on several occasions, but one, the very first night, I had to wait in line because I didn't get
hello,
that right
Reverend
first.
Mark. Welcome back to the new Glarus booth.
Yeah. But when we came in on the members only session Saturday morning, that's where I headed.
Yeah.
Right, we all headed. Yeah.
We walked directly in there, and we were still a dozen people back in line. Yeah.
Yeah, and it officially was not yet open, so they weren't even yet serving, and we were lining up like
20 minutes,
like cats, you know, in a tuna fish factory. It was just, we were just kind of circling the table. As I was waiting for my last pour of this stuff for the GABF, I called a friend of mine in Madison, Wisconsin. I called him and I said, "Look, this is the beer. You're right down the street from New Glarus. I would like you to bring some home for Christmas."
And he goes, right now.
And he's going, "Okay, I'll pick some up in December." And I'm going, "No, I want you to like leave your house right now."
Is your car running yet?
Why aren't you there already?
Yeah. Are you talking to me from New Glarus?
Yeah. But you know, one level it's a peach soured ale that, you know, there was a lot of that going on, and I think of the Brainless Peaches of Epic, which is amazingly good too. But this is like, well, I hate mixing fruit, apples and oranges and peaches and it's not one and the same. This is just a very different kind of approach toward a peach sour, and it really did have that really, really ripe peach aspect to it, you know, like a peach that has not only been vine ripened, but it's just right on the edge of becoming overly ripe, but not quite there.
Yeah.
And has just that deep fruit aspect. So I'm just waiting, you know, for, I don't know, at least six bottles of that to be coming my way
now,
in December.
Six bottles?
Yeah.
I
said a minimum.
Yeah. Okay.
But he's going to be muling it in, so.
Okay. Will he be welcome in your home if he does not have?
No. And he usually brings a ton of cheese as well, so.
Mm. So what's your suds rating on that?
Definitely a five.
How about that? What else on your list there?
All right. Boy, I mean, I really had to winnow this thing down. There were so many good ones. My last one that I'll mention was from the Joseph James Brewing Company in Henderson, Nevada. Their sixth anniversary rye wine.
Huh.
It was a barley wine made, you know, with the wine grist. It had a it was definitely an American style, and then there was some really good layers of hoppy goodness going on there as well. Barrel aged, and I think especially because it was it had a good bit of rye in the grist, that it was though what I would call semi-sweet, it had that, you know, that spice note to it that it wouldn't have had without the rye. Just thought it was very, very mellow, very well aged, picked up a lot of the vanilla character and all from the and bourbon aspect from the barrel. So again, I'd give that one a 5.
Well, three really great choices, and I think what's interesting is that, you know, some things that we actually talked about live at the show even stuck with you, even, you know, after the fact, and I think that really speaks for, you know, the quality of what those beers were, that sometimes you just run across them and they're just, you know, it's like, wow, I wasn't expecting something quite that good. And it really sticks with you. And sometimes it's really difficult to kind of think about your top three when you come back after having, like, you know, 2,000 or 3,000 beers. But, you know, there are things that really capture your palate attention. And it's like, yeah. I'm not going to forget that, definitely.
Were there any breweries that you guys discovered? I mean, I know the one in Nevada that you just mentioned, but stuff that you know, places that you never really thought of before.
So there, I would say the two I'm going to talk about here in the medalist round for IPA definitely captured my attention, and I'd never heard of them before. So we'll talk about those in a second. But good question.
Yeah, I'm thinking, of course, I've already mentioned them, but I didn't really know about Wine Coop, you know.
Yeah.
And we were right there in Denver.
Yeah.
So. Well, tell you what, we're going to take another quick break here, and we'll be right back to talk about some of the GABF medalists and some really great beer that got awarded at the show. We'll be right back. Hey, thanks for joining us for part one of this discussion of the Great American Beer Festival for 2014. We have lots of great topics ahead of us for part two, so come back and listen to the rest of the episode. We'll talk about the GABF winners. We'll have some general discussion on the Pro-Am as well as the rest of the festival itself. So join us for part two. I want to thank all of our listeners at Sip, Suds, and Smokes for joining us. You can catch all the episodes online on iTunes, SoundCloud, PRX, TuneIn, Stitcher, YouTube, Uncle John's Basement, and Spreaker, our native media host. Our terrestrial radio stations are always questioning why in the heck do we actually put these guys on at 2 a.m., and they're deciding to expand anyway. So if you'd like to hear this show on your favorite radio station, send them a keg of beer and send us a note and copy us as well. You can reach us online anytime at info@sipsudsandsmokes.com. Our daily tasting notes on a variety of products flow out on Twitter every single day. @SipSudSmokes is our handle on Twitter, and our Facebook page is always buzzing with lots of news. Hey, if you're listening to the show online today, listen, do us a favor and take the time to rate this episode on whatever platform you're using. That's a really big help to us, and we get to see your feedback as well. I want to thank my other hosts for joining me for this episode, Reverend Mark and good old boy Dave, for this discussion. Be sure and join us for part two. This is good old boy Mike asking you to join us once again and keep on sipping.
This has been a One Tan Hand production of Sip, Suds, and Smokes, a program devoted to the appreciation of some of the finer slices of life. From the Dude in the Basement Studios, your hosts, the good old boys, will see you all next time.